Got it. All right, thank you all for coming tonight. We'll go ahead and get the meeting started. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Here.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Item is the consent agenda. Anything you want removed for discussion or?
Good.
Everyone's good emotion.
Okay, I would move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say, oh, I'm sorry. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that takes us right to public hearing 6A, 21-11-AN, annexation, and 21-03-DA, development agreement. Who do we have presenting on this?
That would be me.
Okay.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, CUNA Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you this evening is a request from Gardner Company for the annexation and zoning of 9 parcels totaling approximately 1,088 acres into CUNA city limits with zoning district classifications of M1 light manufacturing and industrial and M2 heavy manufacturing and industrial. Development agreements for the properties to be zoned M1 and M2 are proposed with this application for annexation. Within those agreements, staff has included language directly related to legislation's passing of House Bill 389, which has the potential to negatively impact city property tax supported services. Basically, a rough outline. If the development agreements are approved this evening, the future developments within the proposed annexation area will be subject to an analysis of city property tax supported services, which are reasonably anticipated to be provided by the city during the construction and operation of any allowed use within those zones. Staff has determined that the applicant's annexation and zoning request and application is in compliance with the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan, the future land use map, CUNA City Code and Idaho State Code. The Planning and Zoning Commission voted for 4-0 with one commissioner absent to recommend approval of case number 21-11AN. And staff would recommend approval of case number 21-11-AN and 21-03-DA, subject to the conditions of approval that are listed within section 10 of the staff's report. And with that, I'll stand for any questions you may have.
All right, questions for Jace? All right, do we have an applicant wanting to? Yes, sir. If you would just state your name and address for the record.
Absolutely.
Hit the green. So there you go.
Thanks. Absolutely. My name is Jeffrey Wardle. My address is 251 East Front, Suite 310 in Boise. And I'm counsel for Gardner Company. We're here to present this application to you tonight and answer any questions that you may have. We appreciate the work that your staff, not only your planning director, but also your city attorney has provided in this matter, as we have been working on this site for some time. Am I able to get to, oops, I'm just trying to go to the PDF that we sent you. 217.
Yeah, it's going to be clear about the middle.
Okay. There we go. So Mr. Mayor, council members, I am again, Jeff Wardle, counsel for Gardner Company. We're here tonight on an annexation and rezone, and we're in agreement with the terms and conditions set forth in the staff report. As we had previously presented and provided, the purpose of this tonight is to talk about the approximately 1,100 acres, 1,088, that are located north of the Union Pacific Railroad and between Cole and South Curtis. There's a portion of it that is north of Cunamora Road, and it is an assemblage that's part of a larger acquisition that we are in the process of pursuing. As discussed previously, this on the northeast side, it's adjacent to the Boise Police Department's property and range there. And to the west is adjacent to property that the city previously annexed, the Koleos properties. So Gardner Company is acquiring all of this property, and we're doing so to meet the needs of several industrial users that we have identified and we've been working with. And that will relate, and we'll discuss in a moment, that relates to why we're requesting the zoning that is being requested. But this is an opportunity to comprehensively address industrial development in CUNA, consistent with the comprehensive plan and consistent with your existing zoning and prior development applications. Now, as set forth, it's a very loose trigger. So we have proposed two zoning classifications. The property that is north of Barker Road has been projected and proposed for M1 light manufacturing and industrial. And to the south of Barker Road, M2 heavy manufacturing and industrial. And we've done that for a couple of reasons. That first of all, we think that Barker Road is an appropriate demarcation point between these uses in light of the fact that you have a rather intensive use there on the west with the meat facility, and that you have the railroad to the south, and that you also have a former meat packing facility there as well. The M1 zoning designation is consistent with the existing approvals that have occurred of the properties located to the west and west of Curtis, and provides for a better barrier and better buffer to less intensive uses to the north and to the east. Going forward with this, we believe it's reflective of the existing uses. It's reflective of the goals of the comprehensive plan regarding preservation of rail access, preservation of the Union Pacific facilities. And it's reflective of the historic uses that have previously occurred, as the southern portions of those properties located to the west that are north of the railroad are much more intensive industrial uses. We think that more importantly, this provides economic development opportunities that are consistent with existing annexed properties and existing economic activities and production in that vicinity. Now, as we worked through the development agreements with staff and with your legal counsel, we're quite sensitive to the issues and concerns related to House Bill 389, and we agree with the recommended conditions regarding the fiscal analysis. And ultimately, that fiscal analysis will happen as development applications come in for the specific development, because with the rezoning of the property and its annexation, we'll still have to come back with special and conditional use permits for specific uses, as well as development applications and design review. And so as we've worked with our potential users, we're comfortable with that condition and that provision. We think it's reasonable and appropriate in light of how the legislature has hamstrung municipalities to have those discussions and those evaluations. Now, as we look at the staff report and we look at the text of your comprehensive plan, we're in agreement with the recommended findings. And we would highlight just a few of the points of the comprehensive plan and staff's findings. Because first of all, with respect to 7.1, as we look at the city code and we look at what we have come forward with, we've attempted, and I appreciate the work that your staff has done, because there have been a lot of meetings over a lot of time as we evaluate what potential uses can be utilized on the property, how to better integrate with economic development goals that the city has, and most importantly, how to facilitate the types of improvements that are going to need to be out there. Because obviously, there will be a need to address water. There will be a need to address how do we serve it through sewer. And we certainly have significant amounts of water, but we recognize that those need to be integrated with the city to address the city's needs there as well. And so then with respect to 7.3, we believe that your goals under the comprehensive plan, which are set forth in much more detail, are satisfied here, that this is an area that you have identified for industrial growth. It is in an appropriate place in the city for that industrial growth. It's adjacent to existing industrial uses and existing industrial property that the city has annexed. And then, you know, most importantly, as discussed previously, that portion of the property located immediately here to the west has most recently been annexed into the city, and we're contiguous with that, and we are matching that zoning there. So a couple questions came up at planning and zoning. You know, why are we doing this at this point and not coming in with actual construction plans? And part of that is because we are dealing with 1,100 acres that are part of this annexation application, and we're working with several users who have different needs and different timing. To give them the assurance that we can move forward with some of the economic development things that they need to, this is the first step. They recognize there'll be other steps, but we think it's appropriate to do that. The second issue that was raised at the Planning and Zoning Commission really had to do with water and how this would be integrated. And the nice thing to know is that as we're acquiring this property, we're doing it with significant existing water rights that have significant priority, and that we're able, because of the acreage that's being acquired, to look at that holistically and be able to allocate those resources in the future for both domestic and industrial use. Now, it's important to note that by zoning this as M1 and M2, this is intended to be for industrial development. And that also raised some questions and concerns with the Planning Commission about, as you know, there is a storage facility that is some distance to the south, that is part of the property that we're annexing. We're not annexing, we are acquiring, but we have the rights and the control with that, and we will have that and those water rights there to be able to work with the city. And as we've gone through the geotechnical work in this area, as you know, there are various times where we're gonna have to use facilities for either storage or for treatment. And those will be developed and designed as appropriate for the needs as those come forward. But, you know, this is a location where we've thought of those things. We've had those discussions. We've had the discussions with your staff. We've had the discussions with ACHD. We're in agreement with ACHD's conditions of approval, especially on Cunamora, recognizing the importance of preserving that as a major east-west connector across the southern urbanized portion of the county, that it's important to provide and ensure that. And that's part of the nice thing, is that we're dealing with such large parcels here. We have the flexibility to do that. So with respect to the development agreement, the required infrastructure will be addressed and scaled with those development applications as they come in. The fiscal considerations with respect to House Bill 389 will be addressed, because we recognize that not every potential user is going to have the same impact. And we've made our users aware of that, and they recognize the fact that there will be dedications that will be required to address those needs. And most importantly, future development applications will address the specific needs and uses of the property. And with that, we would request your approval of our application, and I stand for any questions.
All right, Jeffrey, thank you. Questions?
Yes.
Yes.
This might be a broad question, more of my knowledge.
Sure. But
when dealing with industrial, I understand you're having an on-site sewage system and an on-site water system. I guess my question, is not familiar with industrial waste or industrial products, not knowing what you're bringing in, down the road, knowing you could probably handle the sewage and everything waste that's on property, but if you do when you do connect to city services, is there an OSHA standard or some other standard that provides what can go down the drain?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Larraway, yes. I mean, obviously, as we design systems and we make those integrations, there are standards that will have to be satisfied. And that's part of the reason why, as we look at this and as you think industrial, I mean, it's important to recognize that the parcels to the north that we're talking about it as M1 are going to be a much less intensive utilization. The parcels here to the south are going to be similar to the two existing uses that you have out there. And so, yes, I mean, any wastewater treatment is going to have to comply with DEQ standards. And if it is integrated into the city's wastewater system, that integration will be part of the design and meet those standards as well.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further?
Mayor,
yes.
If I could have the floor. Is there an existing spur track adjoining this property?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Cardozo, there is. And it is located, I'm gonna step over here and just point it to you and come back.
It is down here in this vicinity, right along there.
There is a spur that extends to the north that comes across that parcel in the southwest corner where the former packing facility was. And as we have worked through uses with the adjoining property owners, and as we're dealing with these users, easements have been retained to ensure that that spur can be utilized for multiple uses there on the southwest portion of the property. So it will serve both the redevelopment of the existing, the former packing facility, the former Tyson's facility there that's in the corner, and it will also serve the other portions of the property there north of the Union Pacific. That's something that's important to potential users, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was my question about the rail spur.
Oh, yes. Councilman Galera.
You mentioned out near the Boise City Police Range, the shoot house.
Yes.
Did they have input?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Larraway, I believe that as an adjoining property owner, they were contacted and we've had those discussions with them, because obviously we recognize that, you know, part of the rationale for what we're doing up there is to provide a sufficient buffer against their facility.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything further?
Thank you
very much. All right, this is a public hearing. And is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in on the sign-in sheet? Okay.
I don't really know what that means, but I have some things I want to say.
Okay, so you want to testify. So what I'll need you to do is fill out this. So in favor, neutral, or in opposition? Good. Okay. Okay, we'll start with Cindy Giesen.
Good evening, council members. I'm Mayor. I'm Cindy Giesen. I live at 1363 South Ash Avenue in Kuna. And I did send in a written testimony, but it was 10 minutes late. And then I'm not sure it ever made it. So hopefully it's in your packet, but I can give you a much shorter version.
Okay.
So I'll just go through here. And also, well, I'll explain that later. So anyway, I'll just go through what I had down. I do realize that you guys done a lot more work behind the scenes than I was able to learn from, because there was only brief information about what happened at the planning and zoning meeting. There wasn't any verbal information about his presentation or anything. So anyway, as a caring citizen of CUNA, I carefully reviewed this, the Garner's application and the annexing of this 10,088 acres in CUNA with the rezone. From my analysis, I ask that you consider and address some of the observations I have made. There are many future unknowns concerning this request. I feel that if you haven't already, you should request more details before ruling on it. A wise and informed decision should be made on behalf of our city and our residents. I ask this because of these observations. Well, first of all, my first observation is that the Garner Company seems to be a very professional real estate development management building and leasing company, that they will be a great benefit to CUNA and will be an experienced partner to help contribute to our overall CUNA manufacturing and industry strategies, desires, and growth. But I have no skills to properly validate their success on what they've already done. So that's my warning about that. Observation two, this is really CUNA's first big test with a company that wants to provide the more complex 21st century manufacturing projects, which are now in high demand. When looking at the CUNA codes, I suspect that we have not considered safeguards against the negative consequence of this 21st century M1 facilities and M3 uses. There have been many new challenges that city codes required to manage and protect the local residents, our resources, our domestic and wildlife, and our waterways, land, and skies. I feel that we should have an entire zoning code section created and dedicated to the M1 and M2 types of land use before we allow any developments on the annex. And we really don't know what's considered, but these kind of codes should be pretty generic. They shouldn't be a plan unit developed piecemeal kind of approval. We should just have good plans. Okay, in the package, I kind of tried to get clues about my way out of time. Anyway, my only other thing is there are some clues to the use in the package that there's no consideration of the bird's prey area. So I think we need to make sure we have environmental impact statements on that area. There's a solar energy nearby, and we know that doesn't create jobs, and it just takes up land. And if you don't have the right codes, they leave their mess afterwards. So, and also the agreement, I guess that was initiated by us. So it's probably two great agreements, but I'm wondering, are we gonna receive taxes? Are we gonna give up taxes or what by accepting this, their proposal? So thank you for your time. I'm sorry, I went over.
No, you're fine. Yeah. Questions for Cindy? Okay, thank you very much. And Sherry? Yeah, if you would again just state your name and address there, and then you may begin.
I apologize, I've never done this before.
No, you're fine.
My name's Sherry Bachnick. My address is 18071 South Broken Sky. I sit right in the middle of this. I border Tyson Plant. I'm very emotional about this. I'm here tonight to address all of you. I really didn't prepare anything. I am very concerned. I've heard on CUNA Must Know that we live in a wasteland out there. It is not a wasteland. Many, many birds. I have a book that I'm tracking. The birds of prey, the chuckers, the pheasant, the quail, the dove, the lizards. I can go on and on and on with the amount of birds that are out there in the wildlife. Are we looking at that, the impact? Are we looking at the impact of people who live out there that have been out there a long time? They're not here represented obviously tonight, but I am. I live there. I watch this. The odor that we're getting out there from the meatpacking plant already, the traffic that we're getting out there, don't tell me there's not a change in traffic out there. Sit out there at 5 o'clock at that stop sign and try and get across that road. It is not like it was 5-6 years ago. Darwin's has been out there for a long time, and they've done a lot to work with the people out there in that area. We've already got some ponds out there that have odors and issues. I think we need to take a really good look at how this is going to affect everybody out there that has a well. How's this affecting our waterways? We've got a railroad track out there we want those chemicals or whatever. The last time I went to a meeting with them, they told us they're going to put a hydrogen peroxide tank or facility out there. And those ponds are going to be bordering my fence line. But I could drink out of that pond. Tell you what, Mr. Mayor, I'll bring you a glass of that water first out of that pond and you take the first sip. Because I want to know which one of you is going to be responsible when that M2 or M1 industrial plant and there's something that comes down the road in 10 years and it is cancerous. Which one of you am I going to sue? Because that's what's going to happen if we don't take a look at what's coming into our community. We need to know, not just say, keep saying yes to stuff. I'm sorry, I'm so emotional.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You're fine. You're doing fine.
We need to really take a look at the people out there. It's not a wasteland. There's some beauty out there. Maybe we need to do something else out there with that area. You know, the meat packing plant is one thing, and I get we need jobs. We can't even fill the jobs we've got here at Lowe's or at McDonald's. I see signs everywhere. This isn't about, I get you guys want revenue, but you need to take a look at our quality of life here and what this is going to do to the people that live out there. That's all I have to say. I'm in the smack middle of this, and I do not like it at all.
Okay. Thank you very much. And that's all I had signed up. Was there anybody else who wished to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in yet? Okay. Would you care to answer questions, rebuttal?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, just I'll be very brief. Again, Jeffrey Wardle, my address is 251. East Front, Boise Suite 310. I want to clarify that this is 1,000 acres, not 10,000 acres. We understand the concerns of adjoining property owners. We also recognize that this is an area that the city of CUNA has designated for industrial development. And we also are, as we come forward with an application like this, are sensitive to and aware of what your codes require. And there will be opportunities to address those issues. The fact of the matter is that the types of uses that you see in the M2 are going to be comparable to what you see with Darling and with CS. It makes sense that it's on the rail line. It's where those uses are, and understand the concerns of the two individuals that you've heard here. But we think that all the concerns can be addressed and will be addressed through future development applications when they come forward under your code. And with that, I would stand for any questions and ask for your approval tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Any further question?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think to address the maybe to add on to what Jeffrey had said about why they're doing what they're doing now. I know that as I've watched the applications come in through Department of Commerce and Boise Valley Economic Partnership and some of those, the timeline for somebody will make a request for a piece of property and then you have to put in for that request and let that company know you have what they're looking for. Most of them don't allow for a timeline to have a property annexed or to have a plan for annexation or even allow for the time, even if you do have the property annexed for the proper zoning. So the timelines are very tight on those, and to get the good quality companies so that we can be a little bit picky about that, it's necessary to have the annexation and zoning already in place. So I think that's kind of expands a little bit on what he said as to why they're doing what they're doing without coming forward with site plans and things like that at this point in time. And I know they put a fair amount of work into a development agreement. He'd mentioned House Bill 389 really puts a stranglehold on growth. Generally something like this, if you get something up and running, it helps to balance our residential and commercial tax burdens. House Bill 389 would really hinder that. And so their development agreements and their conditions on that are very helpful in that manner and making this more of a project that actually makes sense for the city. So I appreciate it. I know they've been going through this for a long time and a lot of work with staff and a lot of efforts gone into this. So anyway, that's what little I know about it.
If I could just make a comment, it's kind of piggybacking off what you just said, because I wanted to bring up really what our economic development director had said regarding the project and the timing of the situations and things like that, where in it, you know, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I'll just read from her memo that she had put out. In the current climate, most businesses simply do not have time and risk tolerance to go through the entitlement process and are only interested in properties that are already zoned appropriately for their projects. Removing the administrative and timeline burdens of annexation makes the city of Cuna more competitive when companies are evaluating where they would like to locate or expand their operations. And with the city really pinging this as an industrial area, what she says in here really made a lot of sense and hit home for me. And she even talks about currently residential properties make about 90% of the tax base, leaving them the remaining 10% for commercial. And then by adding just two or three industrial users, the city could see those ratios shift. And that was another key point in looking at why we're wanting to do as a city what we're doing out there. So.
Okay.
The only thing productive I could add, I guess, at this point was it was addressed a little bit about the wells. And thinking back to the Falcon Crest project, when we talked about a city well versus a residential well, it was stated, and I'm no hydrologist or anything by that means, but we had an actual hydrologist in here, and his comments were that like an industrial well or a city well are much deeper than a residential one. They're in different aquifers and everything, so typically they don't see problems with that. Now, that's typically, I say, can't guarantee anything, but it's a little bit of peace of mind there. That's the only thing I brought from it.
Okay.
I think the only thing I'd add to that is I know that Cunamore Road has always been on the map of ACHD to make it an expressway and open that road up quite a bit. I know they haven't done much with it, but I'd be curious. I haven't been able to find it. What ACHD's future plan is for that. I know that, you know, the traffic on that road, they've maintained the road really well. And I just don't see traffic being that underlooked. So I have no problems with this.
Yeah, and I think it's as with anything with, I think in regards to ACHD, that until someone is there and the roads increase in travel and those counts go up, we always wait until something's too busy and then we close it and fix it. But that's unfortunately the nature of the beast, because that's where the funding comes from. So,
yes.
You can't be speechless over there.
I guess we've made it a point to move the industrial, what used to be on Luker, quite a ways out of town for many reasons. Traffic was one, smell was one, noise was another. It seems like it would be difficult to address that now that we've moved it out there. So when we were doing the comprehensive plan, maybe that should have been the time that the public should have addressed the manufacturing that might be going out there. And at that time, maybe we could have changed or at least looked at the comp plan. But the comp plan's already in existence with the consent of the council, with the understanding that we would kind of put industrial out there where the noise, the smell, if there is a smell, and the traffic would be more receptive to the allocation of facilities. Kenamora Road, ever since I've been on the council, has been earmarked to be a east-west corridor of five lanes. And I think eventually it'll get accomplished, maybe not in my lifetime, but it'll be coming down the road, I'm sure, with the addition of another 1,000 acres out there. So as far as the water goes, I would think the water is already substantiated with the wells. I drive that road quite a bit, and I noticed there's some big center pivots. So I'm sure the water issue is already being used. That would be of consequence to the wells that were there. And it's kind of like the chairman said, I think we're all at the city, industrial and private. We're all at less or different footage. I used to live out in that area, and I think I was only at 87 feet, my well, and it was very good water. So one thing that I did find, and I think it probably needs to be addressed to legal, is on page 304 of the development agreement, bullet 117. What I'm noticing is some of this is in the name of Ray Monteith. Some of it, the deeds are in Ray Edward Monteith. And I think on page 304, we addressed the DBA. But if you go to the development agreement on page 324, it does not address that. I don't know if that's a legal issue further on down the road as far as the title searches or deeds are concerned with a development agreement.
Mr. Mayor, with your permission, and Councilman Cardoza, we have identified as parties to the development agreement the owners of the property, which are Ray Monteith and Susan Monteith, Pleasant Valley Agriculture LLC, and the M1 development agreement is also a property owner. Since we're not dealing with deeds in this instance, like warranty deeds or deed of distribution out of an estate or a quitclaim deed to the city, where if you record that deed and the assessor has a question about whether this is the same person as to what they hold title in, we're really, I don't think, is going to be addressing that concern with an annexation ordinance or with the development agreement. Clearly, they are represented by council. They are the ones that have made the application, and for any property owner of those subject properties to claim that they had a defense on the development agreement on the basis that their middle name was not included in the development agreement, or that there was, they go by some other name, I don't think would defeat any attempt to enforce it. So that isn't a concern of mine in this type of setting.
Okay.
As long as we have them, and I'm very comfortable, and this was something that we worked on with staff, that we have the owners of the property are the parties to these agreements, not okay. The developers.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
We did pretty good. We got 39 minutes into a meeting before Bill talked. That's pretty good.
And
And it wasn't his fault.
Yeah. He was called upon.
Do I get rebuttal? The answer to that will be no, I'm sure, Mr. Mayor.
There was something mentioned earlier about the open range. I'm assuming that it's still going to continue to be open range, or they're going to fence the property off to prevent open range. That might be something that comes up later.
I suppose that would probably depend on the use once somebody else.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, just a point of procedure. If you need additional information before you make a decision, and there are people here that can provide you with that information, I would encourage you to invite them to come back to the podium and with the mayor's permission to provide that information to you.
Thank you.
Do you have an answer for that? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Blairway again, Jeff Wardle. My address is 251 East Front. Just to clarify, we appreciate Councilmember Cardozo's attention to detail because, yes, in fact, as we've gone through this process, we discovered that the Monteiths took title in two different re-signed deeds and took title in two different ways. And so we are working through and addressing that as we deal with our title issues. But I'm in complete agreement with Mr. Gigray that these are the parties and that's who's there. And then, yes, a portion of the property is open range. At some point, as development applications come forward, that will change and there will likely be fencing and there will likely be some reconfiguration of parcels, but none of that's going to happen imminently. Thank you.
Thank you. Is this what you were looking for?
Yes, sir.
What page is that? 375. The right word, expressway. You see that?
No one else has any more questions, comments?
Not myself.
No? Okay. Let's see, let's get on the right spot here.
There. Mayor?
Yes.
I do have one question. On the map, where is Barker Road?
The divider, where the green line is.
Where the green line is. Thank you.
This might be an easier one.
Okay.
Page 358.
Are you good, Richard? Or?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
They don't fall within Cuma Rural Fire District.
Part is.
You just give us that going to be a BLM?
No, they'll annex into the fire district.
It's got BLM.
BLM won't do any structure stuff at all.
And they'll only do BLM property.
That too. Okay, well, if there's no other evidence to be received, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries.
Did I miss it? Was there a letter from the CUNA Fire Department on this in there? I don't recall seeing one.
I thought I saw something, but
probably not until there's some application for development beyond what we're looking at annexation. I don't think the fire department would comment on that at this point. So that'll be something that has to be negotiated with fire district when.
Do you know when the fire district's going to be putting in station number 2 on Cloverdale by any chance?
The last I talked to, last time I talked to TJ, the chief, he said they were working on that plan, and they're now that they're receiving the impact fees, they're getting closer, but he didn't have a timeline for it yet. They are looking at hiring one more firefighter. I saw that posted the other day, so they're working on expansion.
If they're doing away with our CUNA ambulance, I think.
Ada County is taking paramedics. They turned that over to them. Yes.
Will that money then be used by the fire department, or is that money to be used for Ada County's ambulance in CUNA's fire district?
Any money collected from medical transports would go to Ada County paramedics, I'm quite certain.
How about
generally fire district or fire departments don't charge, you don't have the ability to charge for unless you transport a patient. So
the cost of the ambulances and the EMTs on duty, is that going to be used for Canyon County to provide that service, or is CUNA Fire Department going to be able to keep that?
I don't know what they've agreed to with Canyon County. Do you have any idea?
Or Ada County, I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, don't mind answering your question because I represent the fire district. I'll disclose, and I failed to mention that my office is at 5700 East Franklin Road, Suite 200, Nampa, Idaho. With regards to the fire district, if this were facts which you were going to rely upon in making decision whether to grant this application or annexation and zoning or not, and there's nothing in the record with regards to any of these facts, there's not anything you could rely upon to make that decision. I want to caution you on that, but I don't mind answering your question. At this point, I think that the agreement that the fire district has with EMS, Ada County EMS, is going to continue for a while, and it's going to be extended. At this point in time, Ada County EMS assuming all transport in this area, I think, is going to be delayed for a while, pending some further negotiations and review, is what I understand is going on there. With regard to property tax is collected for Ada County EMS because it's a countywide ambulance district and it has a levy, and that levy goes and that pays for their services. In addition to what they charge, and the CUNA Rural Fire Protection, CUNA Rural Fire District also, as you know, is a property tax collecting district, but also, as does Ada County EMS, it charges a fee for the transport. And so these two services are operated under two different budgets. I think that the history has shown that I'm sure the district is wanting to assure that there's good service in this area and that can be provided as it has been. And of course, in the past, service by Ada County EMS through various administrations has been off and on. And I think that it needs some details worked out. There's some details about what they might support and what they're financially willing to do to help with the upgrade of Station 1, which is on the immediate agenda of the fire district to improve because they're out of space there. I am looking at the chairman across the way and he can correct anything I've said, but that's kind of where that situation is at this point in time. And I would agree with what I heard the mayor say with regards to any comment by the fire district, unless there were a specific development such as a subdivision, because access is very important, construction standards. If there were buildings, other things, then they would be commenting. And it probably isn't unusual that they didn't, if there isn't any comment from them in this type of situation. This is simply zoning and annexation. And did I go over, Councilman McPherson, or my okay.
What did he say?
Mr. Mayor, I accomplished my goal. If they didn't understand a thing I said, but it sounded important. I guess my question, Bill, is, are you saying I cannot use the criteria of response for the fire department as a decision? Well, you know, I think that you're talking about EMS response time.
And fire department, since it's over 4 miles, I'm sure, out there.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to hear comment about that when there is a proposed development. I think we went through the same process as I remember with the Simplot rendering plan. It wasn't really until they proposed, it wasn't at the time that they did the initial, planning with the county. It wasn't until they actually proposed the actual facility that the fire district did negotiate directly with Simplot to provide some offset for the additional costs that it would provide. And they also have a provision in there, because if this has to be annexed that they understand there may be a delay in service because of the distance.
Since Simplot had a condition with the fire department, does our development agreement have to address a condition with the CUNA fire department as the cost? Should the development agreement have a condition in there?
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, unless there had been a specific request that it be included in the condition of it wouldn't be a condition of annexation so much as zoning and development, that request would have to come from the fire district with a specific request, or we wouldn't have anything in the file for the city on its own, since the city doesn't provide the fire protection they do, and there are two different jurisdictions.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
You bet.
Okay, thank you. Anything further?
No.
You good? Anything further, John? Okay. Well, if there's nothing further, then spot. And then I would move we then I would move we approve 21-11 AN annexation and 21-03 DA with the conditions listed.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve 21-11 AN annexation and 21-03 DA with the conditions listed. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Next item is 21-02-0A, an ordinance amendment, power transmission line regulations. Jace Hellman.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, Cuna Planning Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. In an effort to keep up with current demand throughout the city and prepare for future development that is expected, Planning and Zoning staff has met with Idaho Power to discuss the current limitations on our code specifically related to the power transmission. And what we could propose is an amendment that would assist in ensuring that necessary electrical infrastructure needed to serve the potential load requirements of current and future users is actually capable of being provided. As a first step towards this, staff is proposing the technical corrections that are before you this evening. We basically have made it into more of a, as the Idaho Public Utilities Commission regulates kind of situation. So with that, I'll stand for any questions you guys may have. Additionally, we have Jeff Mafuccio with Idaho Power in attendance this evening if there are any specific questions as well.
Okay, questions for Jace? All right, this is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter who didn't get a chance to sign in on the sheet? Okay. The only name we have listed is Jeff with Idaho Power, and he is here to answer questions, not to testify. So if we need that support, feel free to ask. So we have no one to testify then. So
okay. So no evidence. Then I move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
A second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that motion carries. That sounds like it's just kind of a cleanup legislation that we need to do to make things operate in the modern day. So I don't think there's a lot of
okay
stuff to.
You have anything, Richard?
Well, I wonder, at one time that was put in because Idaho Power was bringing power from, I think, Wyoming.
The Gateway transmission lines?
Yeah. And we ended up putting that in. Is that obsolete now that the transmission line decided to go through the Birds of Prey? Idaho Power won't be doing this again in the future.
Councilmember Cardoza, Mr. Mayor. My understanding is project, I believe Gateway West was the name of the project. it lies dormant. I don't know if at some point another transmission project wouldn't come through, but what this effectively does is put the regulation in the Idaho Utilities Commission. The standards that we had basically make getting electrical infrastructure around existing development in places nearly impossible based on the width of easements that we require and how close we can allow residential use. It's not feasible to grow that infrastructure with development based off how we have it existing.
Okay. Thank you, Jace.
Okay.
Okay. Then I would move we approve ordinance 21-020A. A second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 21-020A. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Business items. 2102TE is a time extension for Rising Sun Estates final plat. Jessica Reed.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planning Services Specialist, 751 West 4th Street. On behalf of her client, M3 Idaho Rising Sun LLC, Wendy Shreve of JUB Engineers requests time extension approval for the Rising Sun Estates subdivision final plat, located near the southwest corner of East Cuna and South Struble Roads. This project has experienced several delays, such as shortages in building materials, labor, and/or skilled labor crews, as well as a change in ownership, thus creating a necessity for the time extension request. Per Ada County requirements for subdivisions under the same name and ownership on being developed on neighboring parcels, council will see final plat applications coming forward as the singular name Rising Sun. Currently, staff is in receipt of the Rising Sun number one final plat, which was on your consent agenda this evening. With that, I will stand for any questions. Thank you for your time.
Okay, questions for Jessica. So this is just a fairly common thing that happens when there are delays, and by statute they have to ask for an extension or start all over again. So,
and driving by that all the time, the ginormous piles of rocks they've dug out of the ground out there, I'm not surprised by seeing this. So
thank okay. you, Jessica.
Thanks. Okay, I would move we approve 21-02TE.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve 2102TE. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2021-30. This is the second reading. This is an ordinance of the City Council of Cuna, Idaho, by amending sections 2 and 3 of Chapter 3 of Title 10 Cuna City Code by making technical corrections, both sections, the addition, deletion, and amendment of definitions, providing activity related to animal fights is unlawful, providing that the use of body gripping traps within city limits is unlawful, providing that releasing a stray cat after sterilization for population control purposes is not abandonment, repealing the existing section 4 of Chapter 3 of Title 10 Cuna City Code entitled Wild Animals, and enacting a new section 4 of Chapter 3 of Title 10 Cuna City Code entitled Prohibited Animals, which prohibits possession and ownership of certain enumerated animals and provide exceptions to prohibitions, and amending sections 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14, of Chapter 3 of Title 10 CUNA City Code by making technical corrections, multiple sections providing for non-commercial kennel licenses, providing that dogs running at large is unlawful, providing that dog enclosures be maintained and repaired, providing that an exception to found stray animals provision for catching and later releasing stray cats after sterilization, updating standards and procedures for managing rabid animals, including quarantine procedures, providing for the authority to restrain attacking animals, providing it's unlawful and direct a dog to attack other animals, and repealing the existing Section 15, Chapter 3, Title 10, CUNA City, entitled Diseased Animals, which provides for the management of diseased animals, and enacting a new Section 15, Chapter 3, Title 10, CUNA City Code, entitled Criminal Responsibility for Dog Bites and Attacks, providing that an owner may incur criminal consequences for dog attacks and bites, as well as certain collateral civil consequences, and amending Section 16, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 of Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code by updating provisions related to habitual barking and noisemaking, providing exceptions to noisemaking provisions, providing that animal nuisances are unlawful, and providing for nuisance feral cat prevention, making technical corrections, multiple sections, updating provisions for impounded animals that the owners refuse to redeem, and removing existing impound appeal procedures, updating habitual animal control violator provisions, and repealing the existing Section 26 of Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code, entitled Penalties, which provides for infractions and misdemeanor penalties for violations of Chapter 3 of Chapter 10. Chapter 3 of Title 10, I'm sorry, enacting a new Section 26 of Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code, entitled Responsibility for Animals Owned by Minors, which provides parental or guardian responsibility for legal consequences for animals owned by minors under their care, and enacting a new section of Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code, numbered Section 27, and entitled Designation and Management of Dangerous or At-Risk Dogs, which provides procedures and standards for designating dogs as at-risk or dangerous, and provides restrictions for the keeping and management of at-risk or dangerous dogs within the city, and enacting a new section of Chapter 10 of Title 10, of section of Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code, numbered Section 28, and entitled Appeal Procedure for Affected Persons, which establishes rights and standard procedures for appealing enforcement decisions made under Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code, and enacting a new section of Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code, numbered Section 29, and entitled Penalties, which provides infraction and misdemeanor penalties for violating provisions of Chapter 3 of Title 10, CUNA City Code, when specific penalties are not provided for by a particular section, and directing the city clerk and providing an effective date. And as of now, I don't believe we've had anyone inquire as to this ordinance change. So,
no, sir.
Yes.
There's been
one. Okay, thank you. And I'm sorry, on the agenda here, we have consideration to waive three readings. It would be actually consideration to waive the third reading.
I think I was part of the conversation with Councilman Cardozo over there to slow read this just because of the details that were behind it. And I've had all my questions answered that I may have needed to look further into, and I as well have not heard anything, so I would be certainly okay waiving that third reading at this point.
If there's been no action to the city, I have no problem with pursuing it.
Okay, before he changes his mind, I move we waive the third reading of, hang on, I got to scroll for a half hour here, ordinance 2021-30.
I'll second that.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the third reading of ordinance 2021-30. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I would then move we approve ordinance 2021-30.
A second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2021-30. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I then move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2021-30.
Second that.
Motion is made and seconded to approve summary publication of ordinance 2021-30. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much. That leads us to an executive session. Who all do we need to have in this executive session, Jace?
Mr. Mayor, I think for the record, myself, Kingdom Planning Zoning Director, Morgan, the Economic Development Director, and then Jared, the Treasurer, and then probably have Bill here as well. And Bobby, I'm just kidding. I don't need Bobby.
Jared. What?
All right, so we just need a motion.
Okay, I move we adjourn to executive session per Idaho Code 74-206E to include Mayor, Council, the Economic Development Director, the Planning and Zoning Director, the City Treasurer, and Legal Counsel.
A second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
Well, we're going into executive session. Oh.